Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back to another episode of Last Christian. We are having our Bible study show today, and it seemed like our intro was a little schizophrenic on there. But it's going to be fun today. We're going to be talking about the lineage of Cain, which you may or may not have heard before because not many people talk about it. Everyone talks about Seth. So, JD, why don't you come on and let's talk about Cain's line.
Yeah, and I don't know what's wrong with the intro, but yeah, it was low. I don't know what happened to it, but anyway, I'll work on that next time. But I'm looking forward to this
one. I don't think they're paying attention to the intro. It's just to let them know that we're here.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we notice things like that. I'm looking forward to this. I'm happy that you sent me in advance a lot of the bullet points for today. So it looks like this is going to be a great study. So I'm looking forward to getting
We're gonna have a good time.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants the notes, you can email me thehiddenday@protonmail.com, and we'll send you all the notes. We usually don't get into all of them because I usually create like a whole bunch that is way too much for the show, just so we don't run out of stuff to talk to about, you know. Yeah. So so here's the deal. You pray us in.
Okay. All right. Father, we come to you. And we are so grateful to have this opportunity to come together. When two people are together, then we know that you're with us. And Father, we wish to provide a message today that will be inviting to that one individual to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is the true goal of Last Christian. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just as a side note, I got my prophecy bingo card out today.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I did not see Trump in the United States taking over Gaza on the prophecy bingo card.
Right. Yeah.
Did you have that one?
No. That caught me completely off guard. And, you know, I talked to you a little bit about it before the show started, and I want to express this because I know there's people out there that are a part of this particular group that I'm on Telegram, and they seem to be thinking that Donald Trump was taking over or splitting Israel, and that's not the case. What he was saying was that's a very dangerous area. There's, you know, the Gazans are trying to move back in. There's not any buildings standing, really. They're all, you know, you're talking about complete desolation. What he wants to do is go in there and clean it up, build it up, and make it into something that people actually want to stay at, while also providing security for Israel at Israel's invitation. So Donald Trump isn't dividing anything. He's taking advantage of an opportunity.
It's not going to be a state. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, like the Gulf of America or anything.
Good.
But it's like, so, and he's standing next to Netanyahu. It's not like, hey, I'm going to just go overtake
this. Yeah, and you think, if you think Benjamin Netanyahu would have sat there and say, oh, this is the greatest president in my lifetime, after hearing that, he would not have said that. He probably wouldn't even have stayed in the room, you know.
Yeah, but it would be like, no, this guy's not our friend.
Right,
exactly. Yeah, so the short story is we're not taking it. We're just going to go in there and take control in order to get it in order and give it back to Israel. That's
right.
What the deal is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So people don't notice. That's where Samson was from, that area.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the Philistines, they were down there then, too. They haven't left.
They have not
what
left.
What is all these people? Yeah. And we're going to get on another show, too. They're not actually descendants of Ishmael either, as they claim.
Okay.
Yep,
that's news to me.
There's more to the story.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll get into it. Yeah.
And Arab means mixed, by the way. That's what the word means.
Okay.
All right, but let's talk about Cain because he's kind of got the same thing going here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk about the other sons of Abraham, okay, Keturah. Remember, he got married again and had kids with Keturah. So, and that just always struck me as funny because he's like, dude, I'm like 100, and how am I going to have kids? You know? And then, so they live another, well, Sarah was 127, which means he was 137 when he got married again to Keturah, and had six more boys. It's like, and you thought you were old when you were 100.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, yeah. So I suppose Keturah was a bit younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it's the same lineage that we've seen. Isaac and Ishmael. We see Jacob and Esau. We see that same thing. Well, remember last week we talked about the lineage of Seth, and we made that whole sentence going up to Noah.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it talked about, you know, the righteous plan of God, which is written in the stars, by the way. The well, most people don't really talk about Cain's line. Cain's line is in there.
No, we haven't really talked much about Cain at all, really.
Yeah, just, you know, just the killing and all that stuff, and then he got a mark.
Right.
So well, that's what we're going to look at today, is that line, because it also prophetically points to some things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty interesting. Do you want to read the narrative, Genesis 4, 17 through
3? Sure, be glad to. It's Genesis 4, 17 through 24, and what I'm reading from is the New King James Version, so David may have a different version up, but in beginning in verse 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mihalijah. I don't know how to say that.
That's why I wanted you to read this.
I know it is. And Melilah begot Methuselah, and Methuselah begot Lamech. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second wife was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. So he's a little bit brash there, huh?
Yeah, and that points and to
really,
the whole.
I really appreciate you giving me all those names, by the way.
Well, when we get later on, you'll see Huzz and Buzz. Those are easy.
Okay.
Huzz the firstborn and Buzz his brother. And Huzz and Buzz used camel trading. It's like used salesman back then. Okay, so let's click over here. There we go. Now, we see Cain's descendants are like in a contrast of the Seth lineage that we'll see in Genesis 5. Okay.
So I've got that up on screen right now. Cain's line versus Seth's line, a tale of two seeds.
Nice. And so we're going to see it produces a culture of progress without godliness. Mm-hmm. And that's really the two different lines. Everything you see in Seth's line was pointing to godliness. Even the Enoch, the seventh from Adam, we see, and he was taken up. He was so close to God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And whereas Cain's line is more about man's, like it says, technical advancement and things like that. It was all about what can we do? What can we build for ourselves? And come, let us build ourselves a city.
Yeah, I noticed the moral corruption there. And then also here it says the distinction reflects the biblical theme of two seeds, the righteous and the unrighteous, which goes back to, of course, Genesis 3:15.
So that's really what we're going to look at, the two seeds, okay? And I want to correct some things. I have... There are those and some friends of mine that talk about Cain was the son of Satan, and that's why this happened, and that's just not true. And then because of that, then he's the one that had all the ites that we see in the Bible, ite this and ite that, and that's why they're the evil races, like the Amorites and the what is some of the Rephaim and different things like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all of the Nephilim tribes that we see, even the Philistines, which had Goliath. Mm-hmm. So, and then they say, oh, that's because they came down from Cain's line, but that's just not the case. So I want to clear that up right now. Okay. First of all, it was only Noah and his three sons and all their respective wives that were saved through the flood, mm-hmm. which means every last one of Cain's line was destroyed. Mm. So there's no way that they could have made it all the way through there. So people will hit on the narrative, oh, in Genesis 6, it says there were giants in those days and afterwards. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which, that's a valid question. All right. And I don't know if Rob Skiba was the first one to come up with this, but he had a bunch of weird stuff, and he was a flat earther, and he had pictures and everything. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? He was just way off base. And one of his postulations was that, oh, one of the son's wives must have been a Nephilim. Mm-hmm. And that's how the seed came through in the boat. Well, yeah, if you're not thinking like God thinks, yeah, I could see how you do that. And you're trying to make everything work. You got to understand, the Bible is not about you have to make it work. It's about sometimes there's miracles.
Okay? Yeah, because there was nothing in the Bible that suggested that at all. I've never seen anything.
No, not at all.
No.
Okay. It's not at all, and there's nothing to suggest the Sethite theory either, which is, oh, it's Cain's line, and they were the bad ones, and then they went into Seth's line, and they had kids, and they were giants, and then, no, that doesn't work. Mm-mm. Okay? Mm-mm. Just because they were in Cain's line doesn't mean you're going to have, you know, giant monsters.
Well, I think this is a reason, David, that the Bible is very clear that we should not interpret, and that the Bible is not subject to personal interpretation, because it sounds that's exactly what that person was trying to do.
Yeah, and 100%, when you try and read into it, and if there's anything that I think it might say something, I'm going to tell you, this is purely conjecture, but it could probably be this. Mm-hmm. Vast majority of the time, and you're going to hear me give the corroborating scripture, and 100% of the time when I tell you, look, this is the other scripture that corroborates this. Mm-hmm. And if I come up with a thought, I'm going to look everywhere else to figure out. And I don't care if I'm wrong or right. I'm not trying to push me. I just want to find out what the Bible says.
Right.
And that's where we all need to be.
Right. Exactly.
You know, because, you know, if it was up to me, I'd be wrong all the time. So let's go back to the Word and see what the Word says.
Okay.
And the Word does not say any of that.
It does.
Now, if you go to the book of Jubilees, I believe it's chapter 8, you'll see that one of Noah's grandsons, I can get in there and look. We don't have to get into it now. Just go look it up. One of his grandsons found writings on stones at the Nephilim. Right? And Noah's like, get rid of that. So, yeah. And so this is what happened. Some of the incantations and the words. Because remember, words are contracts. Mm. So they spoke these right words. And that's when we get witchcraft and all this other stuff. And he said, he turned me into a newt. Because the words have power, because that's how the entire universe was created. That's why Noah said, you better destroy those words. Mm-hmm. And that is actually a picture, because that's what happened. After that, you see all these other lines come back in, and then it corroborates, because then Nimrod, it said, became a mighty man. Mm. So Nimrod wasn't always there, but with these incantations and stuff that were found and written, he wanted all that power. So he said all this, and even the word abracadabra, we get that that's literally coming from some of these spells. Mm-hmm. And it invoked the spirits to allow them to come in and do whatever they want to do with the body. It's basically opening a portal to your body. That's why you really need to stay away from those things.
We've talked about it before, but I want to make another comment on it again, and that is the Ouija board. Don't think it's a toy.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a toy. okay? And, you know, you can laugh at it and you can say, oh, you know, whatever. But let me tell you something. You're trying. You may or may not be successful, depending, but you're trying to get in touch with evil spirits, period. The end. You're not trying to get in touch with God. You're not trying to get in touch with your family out there. I mean, that might be what you're mm-hmm. thinking, but you're not. You're actually trying to talk to Satan himself. That's what you're trying to do. And so stay away from that stupid thing. It's not a toy.
And even the magic eight ball. Can I ask you questions? I got one of those, and I wanted to make the Joel Osteen had this cube, like the prayer cube. And I'm I got to make a magic eight ball with Joel Osteen sayings on it. You're a better you today. Let me shake it up. See what other positive encouragement I can come up with.
I used to play with those things, with those eight ball deals, but, you know, I mean, that was truly a joke. It was almost like the hot, you remember the hot potato thing?
Yeah,
the
hot
potato. Wind it up and throw it back and forth, and eventually it clicked. that was about the extent of the play with that, yeah.
Yeah, we used to play with a real hot potato.
I never did
that. Ghetto. Yeah. It was bad in my neighborhood. Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Adventurous.
So when we played dodgeball, it was with the pool balls, you know?
We played it with basketballs.
With billiards. Well, you're a basketball player, I mean.
You get hit with a basketball in the face, it'd wake you up or put you to sleep once.
Yeah, try it with a billiard ball.
Oh, yeah, right?
Crack your skull. All right, back to reality. So if you read that history, is how those spirits got in, and that's why they're not nearly as big as they were before, because they literally did all the experiments and everything else back before the flood, and then he dumbed down our DNA, so now they're doing the incantations and all that stuff. And that's what they do when they go to Bohemian Grove. So just that word alone would get us kicked off of YouTube. Because they're doing all the chants and all that stuff, and all the blood stuff, the sacrifices we talked about, and they're doing it because they want to open the doors. They've been told and they've been lied to that if they do this chant and they have this blood thing and they do this, then they'll receive all the power. When in fact, that's just opening the door for the demons to come in and take them over. But demon doesn't say, hey, yeah, let me come in and take you over and then I'll kill you. How about that? No, they tell them you're going to get power. They lied to him, and that's why it's going to get bad out there real quick, folks. And it started right back in the beginning with Cain's line here. Cain's line was wiped out, but the Nephilim came in via other means, and then we see it again with Abraham's sons. The same old idea, the good one and the bad one, right? Well, and it goes right back to Adam and Eve.
Yeah, I put up here the meaning of Cain's descendants before we get too far going here. But the meaning of his descendant names, I found that interesting. If you want to go through each one of those,
yeah, that's where we're going next. So the names of Cain's genealogy reveal a hidden message, just like the hidden message of Seth's. And so these are possible interpretations. Now remember, it's Hebrew, so it's very fluid, but just try and make a sentence with this. It says, in this one, the word, the name Enoch is dedicated, okay? Where it says, when you see the seventh from Adam and Enoch, it's got a little nuance to it, so it means teaching. So it's similar, dedicated and teaching, but a little bit different in its application. So. Yeah. And Cain named the city after his son, suggesting a focus on human achievement rather than God.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's where we got to go to, is focusing on his achievement. This is the city of Enoch. All right. And then you have Irad, or fugitive or wild donkey, which is similar to Ishmael. Okay. And that echoes Cain's own curse of being a wanderer.
Yeah,
and that's in 4:12.
Yeah, we did.
And then Mahujael. Mahujael means smitten of God, and is suggests a separation from God's favor.
Okay.
Okay. Now you'll see a lot of them are very similar, but they're off just enough to change the meaning. And this is we know Methuselah, okay, and but this is Methushael, and it's a paradoxical name, possibly reflecting an attempt to retain some spiritual identity while being outside of God's blessing. So, who is of God? So it means man of God.
Okay.
So we're going to see people that are trying to get back to God here.
Yeah.
But are they really? Are they a false religion?
Yeah.
So there's a couple ways to interpret it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because certainly, you know, offspring of Ishmael could be saved.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
So, all right. So is this man trying to get back to God or is he pretending to be a man of God?
Yeah.
And then Lamech.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Conqueror or despairing. And that's also in Seth's line. But they have different characters.
It looked to me like, you know, everything there was, I'm not going to say it was anti-God, but it was not, I don't even know how to
God
describe
left,
it, but
you, really.
Yeah, a twist on it.
Yeah.
You know, some kind of way. Okay.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we're at.
Okay.
And then, There's a hint at his whole lineage there, and that whole dichotomy of two different types of people. Basically, one trying to do everything himself, okay, being wild and crazy, despairing, pretending to be of God but not really. There's a lot of people that say they're of God. You know?
Yeah,
even in Jesus said, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and have we not done that?
Right, yeah.
And so I wanted to bring it back to that, actually. Excuse me. So that's in Matthew 7:23.
Okay.
And here we go. So we're seeing this Methushael guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says in Matthew 7, and it says, let's start in figs and thistles. You'll know men by their fruits. Okay, so let's start in 16, and we can take this all the way down with this lesson here. It says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs and thistles? You can't get grapes from a fig tree.
Mm-mm.
Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. So a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's not a good thing.
No, it sounds like the final judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. So here we're commanded to check people's fruits. We're supposed to be fruit inspectors. Mm-hmm. So we're not judging people for their salvation, but we can certainly check their fruit.
Right.
And not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. Now, the hyper grace crowd doesn't like this verse. But it no. says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the hyper Torah folks on the other side saying, oh, look, you have to keep the whole law.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not what it says in either direction. Okay. Is your heart to keep his commands? Yes. All right. But they're not the Levitical commands. They're basically the Ten Commandments.
And that brings us all the way back to the personal interpretation again.
Okay. Yeah. But he says, but he clearly says, you got two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Mm-hmm. Love your neighbor as yourself. That encompasses the whole law.
Right.
Okay, I can do that. All right. Well, I can at least try to do that.
You can try to do that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's work. Just those two things is a lot of work, by the way, just to let you know.
Just that itself. So it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Oh, Sounds like a godly person to me. And have we not cast out devils? And have we not in your name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. That is scary sometimes.
Very scary.
To think that, and we got the wheat and the tares. How many people do we know that are doing all these things, but they really don't know Jesus?
Yeah. I think about that a lot when we're doing interviews with different people or you know, different meetings or even in church. You know, you I got some thoughts about certain things, but I keep it to myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you say that and, you know, okay, great. You're handing out the food at the thing and you're helping people and you cast out demons. But remember, Paul rebuked that possessed girl because she kept speaking the truth. Behold, these two men are anointed, she says. And she's like, shut up. You know, come out of her. Because the devil can speak things like those things if it fills, you know, if it's going to go and lead people down the lie that he wants to lead them down.
Right.
So I see some of this in here too, where they're trying to do things, but they're like Methuselah. The thought here is that he's trying to do something like this, to trying to create that image, that appearance that he's a godly man. Look, I'm like God.
Yeah.
When you're really not, you really don't know God.
Right. Okay? That's the whole thing right there.
Yeah, we'll dig a little deeper into this in the second half. But for now, I want to make sure that you're not just acting on anything out there, folks. Are you just, ask yourself that question and then just ask Jesus. Say, please, just let me know, you know, if I'm really seeking you or not, because I want to seek you. And believe me, if you don't want to seek him, you're not going to ask the question. So, kind of self-fulfilling prophecy there. But it's pretty simple. If you are seeking him, just say, listen, I know you died for me. I know you paid for my sins because the wages of sin is death. Please say it in your own words. Just say, you know, listen, let's make this agreement together. I accept it. Will you please come and rescue me? And with that said, we're going to talk about more about Cain and Abel and all that stuff in the second half. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus?
Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
So it looks like we made it back to the second half of Last Christian. So that's a beautiful thing. We have no floods, and we didn't have the rapture yet, no apocalypse. Well, praise God, we can still worship him for a little while longer. However, Maranatha.
Maranatha. I'm with you on that.
Yay. So I think we were about to get into some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to talk about Lamech. And is he a type of the Antichrist, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So what he does, well, you can even read it on the screen. We put it up for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, basically, it says he's boasting about killing a man. He boasts about murdering a man for wounding him. Mm-hmm. But there's other stories that said he, it was an accident.
Oh, okay.
I think in Jubilee. So I think a lot of these are the interpretations could be off.
Okay.
Let me see. I'll tell you why. Let me see.
Well, it says here that it sets a pattern of human arrogance and self-reliance.
So I want to look at another angle from it too.
Also in that, I know you want to bring this up at some point, but Nimrod is here in Genesis 10, as well mm-hmm. as the beast of Revelation there too, as well. Revelation 13, I believe.
Yeah, well, let's definitely get into that. So here's the story. Lamech, basically, I have slain a man to my wounding and a man to my hurt. And you know what? I was reading some other stuff the other day too. And he said, this is a poetry. And he's like singing a song. And it's like, it's not a song. Where did they get that from? And then all the commentaries had the same thing. A song. Was it like in Revelation 12:11 when it said the accuser is cast down? And they're like, look at this song that he's singing over here, that the accusers cast down and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. It's like, that would be a cool song, but I don't see how it's a song in there. I think it was just a narrative. So some people say this is a poem that he wrote here. Mm-hmm. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Where have you heard 70 times seven before?
How many times should you forgive? Can't remember the exact book, chapter, verse, but that was Jesus telling the disciples, I believe. Or answering the question, how many times should you forgive somebody?
Yeah, so here's a vengeance, and here's kind of a forgiveness here. Now, we see the same thing when Israel, when they were exiled for 70 years, and then they didn't repent, so it was seven times again, because that's the law. If you don't repent, you get your... Mm-hmm. So it was like 490 years, and then it was another one added on, and it wound up to land on May 14th, 1948, was the day that was supposed to go back into their land. Isn't that
mm-hmm.
something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but Lamech here, they're talking about that this is a poem. I have slain a man to my wounding, and some people say he's boasting about it. Oh, look at this. Mm-hmm. But look at what he's saying. It hurt me. It hurt me. I believe it's in Jubilees. I didn't look it up now, but again, because Jubilees is expanded Genesis, basically.
Right.
He was actually out hunting, and like hunters have done this many times they see something off in the distance, they think it's an animal, and they shoot it and kill it, and they find out that it was a person.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the reason you wear those orange vests. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's kind of what happened here, if you read the story. So, and it's to my hurt, but since he did, and people weren't killed back then, you know, people lived 900 years. Mm-hmm. So it was highly unusual. They just remember about this Abel guy from years back. And that's what reminded him of the story. That's why he said, if Cain was avenged sevenfold, then truly Lamech 70 times seven. Mm-hmm. Because, and I think the idea being here is that, well, yeah, Cain did it, but he did it on purpose. And it looks like he repented afterwards. Mm-hmm. But this guy's like, no, it was an accident. Okay? So that's why if it's, you know, if he's avenged, then truly I'll be avenged 70 times 7. So he is, you know, in one sense looking for that forgiveness. I see.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But isn't there, you may get into this, I don't know, but isn't there something in the Bible about if you kill somebody accidentally, you get into this city or whatever until the...
Yeah, yeah, it's a city of refuge.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what we call, you know, manslaughter or second degree, where it was an accident, basically. Mm-hmm. So if you killed someone on purpose, then their whole family was allowed to come and kill you and hunt you down until they kill you.
Yeah.
If you killed them by accident, you got to go to the city of refuge, make your case before the heads of the town. And if they believed you, you can stay in that city and they weren't allowed to come and get you until the death of the high priest.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, exactly.
Okay. And then at the death of the high priest, you were completely forgiven, and they can never come after you again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But in the meantime, you don't want to leave that city.
No, you don't.
Mm-hmm. So what a beautiful picture of salvation. Mm-hmm. You know, we are guilty of sin, and we're even guilty of this manslaughter. And we go to the city of refuge, because that's what Jesus is called. And now, because of the death of the high priest, Jesus, we are free.
Amen.
So, it's just another picture in another way that God explains his salvation.
Yeah, it's amazing.
In the way that they lived. Isn't that cool?
Amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. All through the Bible.
Yep. So, Lamech, he had two wives. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that's all about. Why did he take two wives? Because and this is the first one, and it's polygamy. There's polygamy, which is poly, so he's got two. I haven't found a good answer for that yet. When I find one, I'll let you know.
Okay.
In the meantime, Lamech took Adah and Zillah. Okay. So the question becomes: is he the first one that did it, or is he just the first one that's mentioned that did it? You know, same with like Methuselah. He's the oldest man recorded, but were there others that lived longer?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to say that Methuselah was the oldest, but that's just me.
I would vote. If I were to put money on it, I definitely put it on him being the oldest. Mm-hmm. But the question still remains. Mm-hmm. Now, Adah bought Jabal, and he was the father of such that dwell in tents and have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. And he was the father of all that handle the harp and organ. So you see, they're starting to do all this creative stuff.
Right.
Okay. The one dude made tents and had cattle. The other one made instruments. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see all the different types of crafts that are coming up. Mm-hmm. And Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain. And he was an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. So they did brass back then. So when someone says, oh, we got the Bronze Age was here and here. No. It was right from the beginning.
Yeah, I finally caught up, David. I got it back on screen there. The technological progress and moral decline. Just going over just exactly what you were talking about there for everybody to look at.
Mm-hmm. Well, read that last sentence on there. That's a good one.
Okay. While these innovations are not inherently evil, Their association with Cain's line suggests a civilization growing in human achievement, but devoid of God's righteousness. In other words, they're beginning to think highly of themselves at this point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we also see that in Laodicea. Do we not? The church of Laodicea? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The church of the Laodiceans. Let's get into Revelation 3 and we'll see. Exactly. Now remember, all the other churches, like it was a church in Thyatira, the church in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. Okay? But look at the nuance here. Revelation 3:14, it says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you mean? Because they're trying to build the church themselves. And we see that same spirit coming down Cain's line.
Yeah.
Okay? Exactly what you just said. You have righteousness, but then you got man trying to make their own righteousness. Mm-hmm. Look, we built this city. You know, mm-hmm. Even the disciples, when they said, oh, look at the temple. Isn't it great? They said, yeah, that old thing, that's going to be torn down. mm-hmm. Yeah, wait till you see the real one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's 1,500 miles cubed.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a little bigger.
Ooh, just a touch. Just like, a touch.
Yeah, it's literally half the size of the United States and then that high again. Mm. That's a temple.
Yeah, it is.
mm-hmm. Mm. So, and the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, and that's really telling because that's what Laodicea means. Leo is laity or the people, and Diceans means they're making the rules. So the people make the rules. It's a Democrat church.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
Because everybody votes on it. Mob rule, yeah. You know. And then it's funny because we get our news, and that's extremely dangerous to our democracy. Yeah. Well, we don't have a democracy. We got a constitutional republic. So.
Well, I mean, they even call this the lukewarm church. You know, and I have yep. been in some lukewarm churches. Trust me, I know I have. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not good.
Yeah, and he says, I know that works. You know, they're cold and they're hot. I wish you were cold or hot, but because mm-hmm. you're lukewarm, can't do nothing. Because you can do stuff with cold water and you can do stuff with hot water.
Right.
But here's the deal. But you say, I am rich and increased with goods. Mm-hmm. I have need of nothing. And you don't know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Mm-hmm. I've memorized that because it's fun to say. Mm-hmm. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I didn't say it. God said it.
There you go.
That's Jesus knocking on your door saying, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's why I came. Because I love you anyway.
There you go. Yeah. Amen.
But that's what we see here back in Genesis when we see Cain's line all going down. It's all the same idea here. They think, hey, listen, aren't we rich? We did all this great stuff all by ourselves. Well, no, you didn't. Because if God didn't make dirt, you wouldn't have that to make everything else. Mm-hmm. So I don't see that as poetry, and I definitely see that attitude. Now, the beast in Revelation 13 is very similar. So let's jump over there, shall we?
Yeah. While you're doing that, I got another question for you.
Okie dokie.
And that goes back to our original verse. We got Cush over here.
Uh-huh.
Being cursed. What did he do?
Oh, that was do you remember the three sons of Noah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you got Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Mm-hmm. And remember when they finally landed, they got off the boat. And obviously this wasn't immediately because he had to grow a vineyard and then make wine out of it. So it was a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
it was a little while later. So Ham comes in and he sees his father naked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. And then the other two come in backwards and cover up their father's nakedness, which has a lot more meaning than what people think it does. That's a whole show in itself. When we get there, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
And it's not anything like what people think it is. You got to understand the Hebrew. Okay. The modern church. Oh yeah, that means he was gay and he was trying to get look at his father. No, it doesn't mean that.
No.
Stop it. Mm-mm. But anyway, he was cursed. Mm-hmm. And Ham had Cush, and he had Canaan, and what was the other one? Cush, Canaan, and Mitzrayim, and Put. Okay, so Cush, they're all African tribes. They're the black tribes that went down south from where the boat got up. Mm-hmm. Mitzrayim is Egypt, and then you can see Put, I think, is... anyway, there's different sections right at the north
Ethiopia,
of Africa.
Ethiopia, maybe? Somewhere in that?
Yeah, actually, I think it is. But those are the sons of Ham.
Okay.
And the curse came on Ham, and he said, now your sons are cursed, and the curse is Canaan. People are like, why are you... Ham is the one that did it. Why are you cursing his son?
Right, exactly.
And then it just went down there.
That was my question, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but it came down. Now, Cush comes in a little bit later, and he has this dude named Nimrod.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You ever call someone a Nimrod?
I never even knew Nimrod was in the Bible until...
Right?
It's just one of those things that just went over. Yeah, I just went over it all too quick.
Yeah. So, in Genesis 10:8, said Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. Mm-hmm. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore as it said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Mm-hmm. Sounds innocuous, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So let's dig that. So Nimrod, first of all, what does his name mean? Okay. I don't know. It's a foreign origin. So,
yeah.
And let me see if I can even find anything on it. And there really isn't. There's nothing that says where it came from or anything. But we just know it's Nimrod.
Yeah.
So that doesn't help. Now, he began to be a mighty one in the earth. Look at that. So Nimrod became. So this is what we were talking about earlier when he had the, they found the writings. Mm-hmm. So if we look, let's see, they're looking Jubilees. The Cush Swords of East. Let me see here. It's a very small verse, but it talks about the grandson of Noah. And he found the writings. And it looks like the time frame that it's possible. Now, here I am telling you this is possible because this all fits in. Where that since he found those, because this says he became.
Yeah.
It doesn't say he was a mighty man.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't say was, it became. That's a completely different context.
Yeah. So, well, how did he become a mighty man? And the mighty man is a Gibborim. So when we hear about the Gibborim, those are the ones that are mighty. Like the name Gabriel, I mean, that's Gibborim. It means mighty, like the strength of God.
Okay.
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 So he became a strong man. Well, what does that look like to you? It looks like, you know, he's becomes a Nephilim in our terminology. Mm-hmm. And he became a strong man in the earth. So because of that, he took rulership and power as well. Mm-hmm. When we see the ancient statues of Nimrod, you ever see one of them?
Not to my knowledge. It's not. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, he's basically got this big old beard, and he's big and strong, and he's got a lion in his arm by the neck. And you can see it's a full-grown lion. It's not a kitty cat that you would have.
Okay.
That's how big he was.
Okay. Okay.
He was huge.
Like that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and he's holding the lion like that, mm-hmm. like it's his pet, you know. Okay. And it's funny, and you could see, and then he built, you know, all the different things. We'll get into that a little bit later. Okay. But it said he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that has some implications too. It's that the hunter is the same but it's not a hunter of animals. It's a hunter of men.
Mm. Okay.
The implication is he went to hunt men. And he did it because he wanted to take control of them in the way that a Nephilim would.
Okay.
And it says before the Lord. That really means before the Lord. It literally means in the face of the Lord.
Yeah,
like he was doing this on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So it is before, but it doesn't really, the translation isn't really that good. If we say he did this in the face of God, like to, you know, to give him, you know, hey, mm-hmm. he's trying to do this to God.
Right.
That's what it means. So he's like, I'm big now. Look how mighty I am. I don't care what God says.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to take over the earth, just like the Nephilim did.
Okay.
This is Nimrod. And this was the incursion. You know, there were giants in the land and also after the flood.
After that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there were giants in the land before the flood and also afterwards.
Okay.
And this is where in verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calna and the land of Shinar.
Mm-hmm.
So he built a lot of stuff, and there's the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, we see all these things, and eventually if you follow the lineage down, these are all the tribes that God told the Israelites to erase. And they're like,
but we're like grasshoppers. Ah!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I told you. But look at them. There's Nineveh. There's Rehoboth. There's all sorts of them.
Yeah. I mean, said Babel already, and that's a show by itself, Babel.
Okay. Yeah. But he did a lot of them. We usually just think of Babel, and that's all he did, but it was actually a lot of different cities because he wanted to put his embassy in all the different places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Babel is confusion. Or Babylon, and some even say that it comes from, so it's Balal, we have that, Babel and Balal, they fit together to mix, but it also, even further back, it might even say the gate of God, Babel.
Okay.
So now he's trying to build a gateway to God, that's why he builds a Babel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hi, I've got the gateway to the gods, and you do hear that terminology a lot, so that's where that idea comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Well, how about seven thunders? You want to know?
Ooh, seven thunders are nice.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Do you remember anything about the seven thunders?
Nothing. No, I don't.
Uh-huh. All right, I thought this was cool because that was this Revelation 13.
Yeah, I've been waiting on it because you talked about it to me earlier, you know, and I'm sitting here waiting on this because I'm stupid when it comes to the seven thunders. So educate me.
Yeah. So here he comes out of heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're in Revelation 10. I saw another mighty angel coming out of heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. That sounds familiar, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like Daniel when he's praying for 21 days. Yeah, and he's got a similar description here. That rainbow is iris, though. It's not like rainbow as we know. Like, that is, and that means basically a circle.
Okay.
So it was the rainbow above his head. It wasn't like we see just a half an arc. Mm-hmm. Going there, it's literally the entire rainbow around his head, and it's an emerald color.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's so we see that like a rainbow or a emerald colored halo, if you would, is really a better translation here.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the whole reason why this has always been confusing to me because I'm familiar with this part of Revelation. But what really got me here was seal up the things which seven thunders have uttered and do not write them down. Well, okay.
Right.
That's where I get confused, right there.
Yeah, that's where we're going with this.
Okay.
Okay. But I wanted to make sure we get a clear picture of this angel.
Mm, okay.
Okay. So, and he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth and cried with a loud voice as when the Lord roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. So now the thunders are alive.
Mm-hmm.
And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. Mm-hmm. So he clearly understood it, mm-hmm. Because he was going to write it. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Mm-hmm. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that lives forever and ever. Okay, so you're like, this is like the naked guy, right? Mm-hmm. Why is this in here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's but it tells us, yeah, mm-hmm. it tells us a couple of things. Number one is that there are some things we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there's seven thunders. Mm-hmm. Are we going to hear them? You know, when the thunders start coming and when the land starts breaking up, and we're going to hear the mm-hmm. whole sky and the thunder coming through the sky, is it going to speak the same thing again? And will we be able to hear it at that point? And what does it say? Mm-hmm. But it also says that the canon is not closed yet. Because he didn't write this down yet. So there's still that little bit that's not fully completed. And this is basically in the face of those who would say the gifts have ceased. Mm-hmm. All the gifts of the Spirit have ceased because they closed with the last apostle and they ended when the canon was closed. Well, the canon ain't closed because the seven thunders haven't been written down yet.
Okay,
so that's kind of leans in that direction, and that's just one of the little tiny nuances of why we still have the gifts of the Spirit today, despite what the church tries to do to water them down. Okay. And so that's actually a pretty powerful argument on those lines. But this is what it really tells me, is like when they had the scriptures in the New Testament, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, they argued from the scriptures. And we think, oh, yeah, they had the epistles. No.
No,
they argued from what we consider the Old Testament. And mm-hmm. that's it.
Right.
And then later, a little bit later on, we got this new set of books. Mm-hmm. Do we see coming, possibly, I wonder, and I'm asking the Lord this, is after we get to the end of this age, we're going to have a handful of writers that are writing the books that are now the canon, if you would, through the millennium.
Oh, wow. That would I'd be never cool. even thought about that before. Why don't you have to throw right? that at me? Now I got something else to think about, hard.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would
now,
be
I don't
cool.
know if he is or he isn't, but yeah. it would stand to reason.
It's the book of David. I can see this. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Or Bill. Yeah.
That's great. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, the JD's apocalypse. Let me tell you what happened.
Yeah, there you go.
So cool. I just wonder. Yeah. I think at the end, you know, right after uh-huh. the tribulation period,
right.
is he going to set some people out to say, "Hey, let me tell you what happened during uh-huh. the tribulation."
Yeah.
All right. In the meantime, why don't you tell people how they can come with us
Absolutely.
And avoid the tribulation?
Absolutely. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we do invite you to do that. All you've got to do is say, "Father, I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb, and I know he rose on the third day just like he said he would. I know he's with you now, and he gave us a promise that all we've got to do is believe in him and follow him, and we don't have to worry about the tribulation. And we know the rapture is coming first, and every Christian living and dead are going to be raised, and they are going to meet Jesus in the air. We want you with us, so all you've got to do is say that prayer of forgiveness. Mean it. It doesn't, just use your own words. You don't have to write anything special down. And if you'll do that, you will be saved. I guarantee it. And we will see you in the air or in heaven or here next time. Good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.